Daf Dalet as we're plowing through Maseches Shkalim. So we got to the bottom of Gimel Amud Beis, the new Mishnah there. The Mishnah begins and says, Afa Pisha Amru, even though we said above, Ein Mamashkinin Noshim Vavad Muktanim, that we don't go ahead and take a collateral from these individuals for the collecting of Shkalim, or for not giving the Shkalim, Aval Im Shaklu, if they do decide to give their Shkalim, by the way, the word Shaklu is a verb for paying Shkalim, if they do give their Shkalim, so then would be Mekabami Adam. We would certainly, receive and accept their Shkalim, and they could put it part of the contributions towards the Karbanos. So the Mishnah says further now, Hanachi Vakusi, Sheshaklu, a goy or a kusi that bring shkalim as well. Ain mekabim mehen. We do not accept shkalim from a nachi nor a kusi. V'ain mekabim miyadam kine zavim v'kine zavos v'kine yoldos. Nor do we accept any of these different karbanos. That if a Jew becomes tamei, is it tamei zava or a zava or a yoledes, normally they'd bring a karban. If a nachi or a kusi would be in that same category, we would not be mekabel their karbanos. The chatos v'ashamos, nor would we accept any karban chatos or karban asham from a kusi or a nachi. V'zaklal, this is the rule. Kol shenidur v'nidav, anything that can be dedicated, donated willingly, we can be mekabel miyadam. We would accept from a goy or a nachri, or a kusi rather. But kol she'enu nidav v'nidav, that which does not come because of a certain nether, but it comes because of a chiv, like a chatos or asham, we would not accept. So that's the distinction we have between which karbanos we accept from a nachri and a kusi. If it's, again, if they dedicate as a nether and a dava, we would accept from them. But if it was given as a trying to fulfill a chiv, we would not accept from them. The Gemara will explain this. Then ein mekabel miyadam. The Mishnah then says at the end, before you turn the page, V'chein mefurshai de Ezra, as they said in the Pasuk in Ezra, Shenemar lo lachem v'lonu livnos bais lelokenu. It's not for you and us to build the bais, the bais and make this together, meaning we don't accept any contributions from the Goyim or the Kusim, and the Gemara is going to elaborate on this point. And then the Mishnah says, going on to Dalet Amud Aleph, now this is a bit of a tricky topic now, the Elu Shechayavim Bekalbon, the following are Chayat Bekalbon. What's a Kalbon? The Gemara's and Bechor's talk about a Kalbon. The Kalbon can be understood as a maybe exchange fee of some sort. It might also be there to help create the equal, the difference of values. Back then, when it came to giving Machzah Shekel was such a high demand, so it became more valuable than a half a cent. So let's say instead of being 50 cents, it was worth 55 cents now because more people wanted it. So when you give a dollar and you're getting 2 55-cent valued coins back in if you, you know, just example, so now you've gotten a dollar and 10 cents in value back, so you need to pay the 10 cents kalbon. That's one understanding of it. And the other understanding is that some type of exchange fee. When you pay the money changer for exchanging the dollar for the two half dollars, so you need a little pay fee for that exchange. That's the understanding. And we're going to see Shitas Rav Meir, who actually holds a kalbon, is a chiv daraisa. We'll see why that is in just a second. So the Mishnah says, Ve'elu shechayavim bekalbon, the following are obligated to pay a kalbon in addition to paying the machzeh shekel. Levim, v'yisraelim, v'geirim, ravazim, v'shuchararim. All these people who are chayiv in a shekel, they have to pay the additional kalbon on top of the machzeh shekel. Avala kohanim, v'nashim, v'avadim, v'ketanim. But these individuals, who are not obligated to pay shkalim, so even if they pay the shekel, they would not also have to pay the kalbon. Hashokel al yedei kohen, if a person pays on behalf of the kohen, he wants to, you know, give for a kohen, or he pays al yedei ish, or he pays on behalf of a woman, or al yedei eved, or al yedei katan, all these individuals who they themselves are pater, if I'm going to pay a shekel for them, I'm pater as well, because if they're not chayiv in kalbon, I'm not chayiv in kalbon. I'm just doing a little chesed of paying a shekel, but if they're not chayiv in the kalbon, I shouldn't be chayiv in the kalbon either. But im shekel ayado v'adei chaveir, if I decide to pay a machzeh shekel for myself and also for somebody else, in other words, if I give a full shekel, one half of it is for myself, the other half is for my friend, my neighbor, then the din would be chayiv b'kalbon echad. I'm only chayiv to pay just one kalbon. Why? So the simple understanding here is this is the Tanakama. Tanakama holds that the kalbon is supposed to be like an exchange fee. So I'm only giving one transfer. I'm giving one full shekel. So I pay one shekel. I pay one exchange fee, one kalbon. Rav Meir Omer Shnei Kalbonos. You're chayiv two because he holds the kalbon is actually a chiyuv deraisa. When really, I owe machzeh shekel plus a kalbon. If I'm paying for two people, I'm paying, even though it's a full shekel, I'm fulfilling two people's obligations, so I need to pay two kalbonos as well. So again, Tanakama holds it some type of exchange fee, and Rav Meir holds it's a chiv deraisa that's attached to each particular chiv. So that's the big machlokas. The Gemara is going to elaborate on this point as well. And Hanosein Sela Vinotel Shekel. A guy gives a Sela. So Sela is it's two shkalim. He pays one full Sela. and he takes it in exchange, he takes a shekel, the change is a shekel. Chayiv shnei kabonos, because there are two exchanges here. There's one giving to the money changer, and then he's receiving the change. Those are considered two different transactions. So in this case, the Tanakhama would agree there would be two kabonos because they're considered two different transactions. Then the Mishnah says further, Hashokel al yedei ani, if a person pays a shekel on behalf of an ani. An ani can't pay a machzor shekel. He's a homeless person, he has no money. Either shcheino, he pays on behalf of a neighbor, or either ben iro, or somebody else who lives in the city. He's potter from paying the kalbon. The reason why he's potter, because if he's paying, I'm just covering his costs now. I'm not obligated. Who's obligated in the kalbon? Only the one who has to pay. He has to pay, not me. I'm doing a chesed. I'm paying on his behalf, so I'm potter from paying the kalbon. But if I'm doing it im helvan, if I'm paying for him, that he's going to pay me back as a loan, so I'm paying up front for him, then I'd be chai because I'm trying to fulfill his obligation. I'm really representing him. So the kalbon could only be, it's only put on the person who's chayiv, not on the person who's not chayiv. So again, if I'm representing him and that he's going to eventually pay me back, that's considered being a shliach of some sort, I'd be chayiv. But if I'm just doing a ches, I'm paying his outstanding debt, and he's not going to pay me back, then I'd be putter in the kalbon because they never were mechayiv the other individual of a kalbon, only the actual person who's chayiv in the machzeh shekel. And then the Mishnah says, and we'll have to appreciate this more in the Gemara, Ha'achin Ha'shutfin, the brothers who are partners, Chayavin B'Kalbon, if they are Chayiv in paying a Kalbon, then the Peturim B'Maiser Behema, we'll have to get to this point in the Mishnah, and Ha'Kishachayavin B'Maiser Behema, those who are Chayiv to pay Maiser Behema, they'd be a flip, Peturim Min HaKalbon. So there's an inverse relationship between those who are Chayiv in Kalbon and those who are Chayiv in Maiser Behema. If you're Chayiv in Kalbon, you're Pater in Maiser Behema. If you're Pater in If you're putter in a ma'aser behema, then you'd be chayiv in a kalbon. So there's this inverse relationship. So the Gemara says, v'kama hu kalbon, how much la'maisa, how much is a kalbon? So one opinion holds ma'a kesef. It's whatever the ma'a kesef means. They go through the whole translation. That's divi Rebbe Meir. And chacham omrim, chatzi ma'a, it's a half of that amount. It turned out to be like 1/24th of a shekel of some sort. It's a small amount. It's the size, the amount, the value of the kalbon. So this is a very jam-packed Mishnah. It's a very challenging Mishnah. Everything in Masechta Shkalim is pretty much challenging. But that's the hand we're dealt the next couple of weeks. So the Gemara says as follows: Afal Pisha Amru. Even though the Mishnah said we don't go ahead and take a mashkon from a women and from children and so on, if they do want to pay the shkalim, we accept it from them anyways. So the Gemara says Hola Teboa Ain Tovim. But we can't go ahead and demand. We can't go ahead and request the payment from a katan. The katan, if he wants to give, we'll accept. We're not going to chase after him. So the Gemara says, "Halatzbar ein tovin, hachaat amar tovin." But here, which really means the previous Mishnah, we had said we can be tovin. We had inferred from the previous Mishnah, although we don't go ahead and we don't mechayev. We're not mechayev a katan. We certainly encourage the katanim to give. But here, the Mishnah says we don't encourage them. We don't chase after them. V'hachaat amar ein tovin. So there seems to be a contradiction in this Mishnah, which implies you don't demand money from the katan, and the previous Mishnah says you do demand shkalim from the katan. And the Gemara answers, kan b'shehevi shtei saros, the kan b'shehevi shtei saros. It depends how mature the child is. If the child is mature with a shtei saros, so then we are toveya the shekel. But if the child is not yet the age of hevi shtei saros, then we would not claim the shkalim from the katan. So then the Gemara quotes from the next part of the Mishnah, hanachi v'akusi. The nachi and akusi want to give mechas a shekel, we do not accept it from them. So Amar Rebbe Ba, dif tiftar, Kiman de Amar Kusi Kinachwi. The fact that the Mishnah lumps together a Nachwi and a Kusi must be that our Mishnah holds like the opinion that Kusi is like a Nachwi. There's a machlokas the Gemara is about to bring the Braisa. Is a Kusi like a Nachwi or a Kusi is like a Ger? So the fact that our Mishnah lumps together Kusi with a Nachwi implies that Kusi has a din of a Nachwi. As it says in the Mishnah, this Palgin, we have a machlokas, Kusi Kinachwi Divrei Rebbe. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Kusi Ki Yisrael L'chol Davar. So this is a very important machlokas. Our Mishnah holds like Rebbe that Kusi is Kinachi. There is another opinion, the opinion of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, who holds Kusi is like a Yisrael. The Gemara then says further, Amar Reb Lezer, Masnisa Benachem. Our Mishnah is referring to a Goy only, but Ha B'Kusim Lo, but can't be referring to a Kusi. Why that be the case? Because the din would be that it says that we don't accept the karbonos of the Nachum. But a Kusi, we would accept a karbam from the Nachri, from the Kusi rather, because the din would be that a Kusi would want to bring a karbam. The reason why we don't accept the karbam from a Kusi is because they, the reason why we don't accept the karbam from a Nachri is because a Nachri doesn't really, you know, full-heartedly give a karbam. So we can't accept from a Nachri. But a Kusi seemingly would give a karbam wholeheartedly. So while the Reish of the Mishnah lumps together Kusi with a Nachri, the Seifa seems to say that Nachri is different, that we wouldn't accept a Nachri's karbam, but we would accept a Kusi's karbam. And the Gemara says further, V'tnan Kain, we have it in Mefurj Din, that we would accept the carbon of a Kusi, because it says Adam, the Rabbo says again, the passing in last week's parsha in Vayikra says Adam, what's the word Adam? Coming to include even Gerim, that even a carbon of a Ger, which is a carbon of a Kusi, we would accept. And Mikem, just continuing the drasha, the Gemara says, Lotis and Mumar, a Mumar's carbon we would not accept. Either way, it sounds like a Kusi's carbon we would accept. So how come we said in the Reisha of the Mishnah, we lump together Kusi with a Goy? But the Sefer, we seem to say that Kusi is different from the Goy. So the Gemara says, Masnisa pliga al Rebbe Elazar. Our mission now further argues in Rebbe Elazar, because Ein mekabla miyadam keini zivin zavos v'kine yoldos. V'chiyesh kine zavim v'zavos benachrim. When the mission at the end says, we don't accept the karbanos of a Nachri, who gives a karban for a zav or a zava yoledis, why would the mission even address that? Would a goy ever think to bring a karban of a yoledis, a karban of a zava, a karban of a zava? Certainly not. So the fact that it's even addressing it seems to refer to a kusi. Now, a kusi, I can understand a kusi who is somewhat Jewish, whether they have a din of a Nachri or a din of a ger, we could see them willingly wanting to give a karban zav, a karban zava, a karban yoledis. But a Nachri to bring such karbanos wouldn't be on the radar. So it sounds like from the Sefer again, the Sefer is going along that a Ku is talking about a Kusi, not that of a Nachri. So the Gemara says, you're right. El Reish of a Nachri, the Sefer of a Kusim? Are you going to say Reish is only referring to a Nachri, and the Sefer is referring to Kusi? And the Gemara says, yes. Kain hu, Reish of a Nachri, the Sefer of a Kusim. The beginning of the Mishnah is talking about a Kusi only, and then the end of the, rather talking about including Reish is talking about a Nachri only, and we don't accept the carbon of a Nachri. And the Sefer is talking about a Kusim, that even though Kusi may want to bring Kinei Zavim, Kinei Zavos, Kinei Yoldos, we do not accept that of a Kusi. So Gemara then says further, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, he said in the Mishnah, we do not accept any donations from a Goy. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, B'tchila, in the beginning, when the beginning to construct the Beis HaMikdash, Ein Mekabim Mehem, we don't accept from them at all, Lo Davar Mesuim, whether it's something that's a distinctive item, something that's very clear, if they want to dedicate a wall, they want to dedicate a keli, we don't accept that Davar Mesuim, and Afilu Lo Davar Shein Mesuim, even things that are just simply money or metal or gold or silver, which is not going to be a Davar Mesuim, that they're going to melt and fashion into something else, that too we won't accept. Meaning we won't accept anything from a Nachri at the beginning, but Tchila, we don't want to have them contribute to the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Ubasof, however, at the end, when the Beis HaMikdash already is built, Mekabin Mehen Davar Shein Masum, we would accept that which is not Masum. If they want to give, let's say, gold or silver, which we'll make as part of the Beis HaMikdash, but they're not giving a whole kli, they'll give some metal or silver or maybe some money, that we would accept from them at the end, but Ein Mekabin Mehen Davar Masum. But at the end, we would not accept the Davar Masum. So in other words, in the beginning of the Beis HaMikdash construction, we don't accept anything. After the Beis HaMikdash is ready, is built, and they want to add and continue to help the maintenance, we would only accept that which is not Musum, but that which is Davar Musum, we wouldn't even accept at the end, Basof. Reish Lakish argues, Reish Lakish says, Bein B'tchila, Bein Basof, whether the beginning of the construction, whether after the construction is complete, Ein Mekabin Mehen, Lo Davar Musum, Lo Davar Shein Musum. We don't accept anything from a Nachri ever at all, whether it's Musum or not Musum, whether it's B'tchila, whether it's Basof, according to Reish Lakish. So Gemara says, Masnisa pliga al Rabbi Yochanan. Our Braisa argues on the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan. Why? How so? It says, Ein mekablin mehen hektesh unedava lebedek abayis. You cannot accept any of the donations that the Nachri wants to give towards the bedek abayis, which is the maintenance, the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash. So why not? According to Rabbi Yochanan, he says you're allowed to help the bedek abayis. It's already constructed. He just said in the beginning, when you're building it, don't accept. But in terms of the maintenance, that he says you're allowed to accept it as long as it's a davar shein mesuyam. So what's the answer? How does Rabbi Yochanan explain this braisa? So pasar lei bein betchila bein basof. He's talking about the braisa says, when can you not accept from it? You can't accept what's referring to ubavad davar mesuyam. That's what the braisa means. You can't accept from them. But if it's at the end and it's a davar shein mesuyam ein achanami, that's the area where Rabbi Yochanan would allow you to accept a dedication, a donation from a Nachri. Or, alternatively, the Gemara suggests, Pasalei, B'tchila, maybe it's referring to in the beginning only, this price when it says, Ein Mekablin, Mehen Hektesh, Nadava, Lebetek Abayas, that's referring to the B'tchila. When they're constructing the base of Medesh in the beginning, you can't accept Afilu Ma'osava, even the money you can't accept, and if they do give money, Yolichim Yam HaMelch, you throw it into the Dead Sea. So that's all according to Shitas Rabbi Yochanan. So then the Gemara says, what about Rish Lakish? Rish Lakish Amar, he again says, Bein B'tchila, Bein Masof, Ein Mekabim Mehen, Lo Davar Mesum, Lo Davar Ein Mesum. You can't accept anything from a goy any point in the beginning or the end when it comes to the building and maintaining the base of Migdash. So Gemara says, Masnisa, Pliga al Rabbi Shimon Bei Lakish. The Braisa argues in Rish Lakish. The Tani, Hakol Shavin, everybody is in agreement, Shehein Nodrin V'Nidarim, that the goyim can be noder, they could dedicate something towards the base of Migdash, and they can be dedicated. We'll see, it's a little unclear what that means, Nidarim, but they can contribute to the base of Migdash, which goes against Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish says they can never contribute to the base of Migdash, Bein Mitchi Bein Masof, but there's a clear price that says they can contribute. So Pasilei Ola, he says, no, when they can contribute, a noder means they're noder carbon Ola. We were talking about in terms of the building the base of Mikdash, in terms of the construction, in terms of the upkeep, the Bethic Abayas. In terms of a carbon, well, that's allowed. A carbon Ola, they're allowed to. They just can't give towards the building. So Gemara says, Nicha no dinola. This makes sense. Now, this next few lines, it shouldn't come as a surprise to us. Unclear what this means. There are a lot of questions how to interpret this. So Tosa asks the question. We're going to take it, again, a very superficial understanding of this next few lines. But the Gemara says, this makes sense. Nicha nodrin ola. We understand that the Nachrin wants to dedicate an ola. Okay, we accept a noder. They're carbon ola. Nidarin ola. How are they nida? Nida means when they were the subject. So the understanding here is that a Jew could say that Nachri is chayv to bring a carbon. Is the Nachri going to listen to me if I tell him it's chayv a carbon? How does the word nidar mean? No, there's when they're making the carbon, when they're making the chayv, and nidar is when they were being obligated to make a carbon. So if I say that Nachri is chayv in a carbon, he's not going to listen to me. So just understanding what this means, hakol shavin shein nodrin v'nidarim. What's the case of nidarim? So Gemara explains, Elokish Omar Yisrael Hare Alai Ola. If Yisrael says, I'm chayv to bring a carbon Ola, and then Shama Nachri hears, and he says, V'amar, Mash Amar Zeh Alai, whatever he said, I'm taking the same thing, I want to have the same carbon, that would be the example of Nidarim, where he willingly took a carbon that really is using springboarding off of what I had said. That's the case of Nidarim. But he would never listen to a case where I said he's chayv to bring a carbon. Either way, this is a category of even Reish Lakish. What would the exception be where Reish Lakish would accept something from a Nachri? Only when it comes to a carbon Ola would it be acceptable. But anything having to do with the building of the base of Migdash, Bein B'tchil, Bein Masof, Reish Lakish holds, you cannot accept from a Nachri. So the Gemara says, wait a second. Is there never going to be a case where we don't accept a davar mesuyim from a Nachri? What about the following? When a carbon is brought, when an Ola is brought by even a Nachri, the din is, has to be accompanied by nisachim, some wine pourings. So the eino maybe imon nisachim, is it not true that when a Nachri brings his carbon Ola, does he not bring nisachim? He brings some wine with it as well. And sometimes he brings more wine than is necessary. And that's called moser nisachim, the leftover wine. So Moser Nesachim, lo lichli sharis inan, there's a din, that any leftover Nesachim, any leftover extra wine, you would redeem the value, and the extra money you have, you would buy towards new kli sharis. So if a Nachri were to bring Nesachim, he has a surplus, that wine is transferred from money, that money is used to make new kli sharis. So in essence, he dedicated money towards kli sharis. So why is that acceptable? Nimsa, davar, sheinu mesuyim. We accept something, we accept wine, which in effect benefited in the upkeep and the maintenance of the base of Mikdash that came ultimately from a goy. How is that accepted according to Reish Lakish? So the Gemara explains, Hasiv Rabbi Yosi by Rab Bun, Vaha Tanina. Wait a second. Then we have another Mishnah which also indicates we do accept some dedication from the Nachri. The Mishnah tells us in the beginning of Maseches Erchin, Nerachin V'Orchin. The din is that a goy, there's a halach of Erchin. Erchin is a whole tabular in the Torah. If I say I want to do my Erchin, so it's based on a person's age and gender, you have to pay a certain amount of money. Erchin is a special din that if I say I want to do my Erchin, I have to pay that amount of money. Let's say 50 shkalim, I don't know the numbers, but 50 shkalim I have to dedicate towards the base of Mikdash. If I want to say I want to take your Erchin, I could take your value, I need to pay 50 shkalim, or if you're older or younger, it might be 70 shkalim, and give it to the base of Mikdash. So the Mishnah there says, a goy also could do Erchin. He could make Erchin. A goy could say, I want to bring my Erchin. And also, he could be Nerach, which means I could say, I want to give the Erchin of that goy. He could be the subject
of my statement that I could dedicate it to the Beis HaMikdash. Either way, we see that a goy could be do erchin. He could do erchin. So what happens with the money? When anyone who takes erchin, where does the money go? Lo levedek habayis inan, does it not go to the upkeep and the maintenance of the Beis HaMikdash? So we see from the Mishnah, if a goy could do erchin, that money ultimately goes to the Beis HaMikdash. So how does Reish Lakish understand that? Doesn't Reish Lakish say we never accept any money from the goy in terms of the upkeep of the building? So the Gemara explains, Heich ma da'at amar taman, however you answer there by the Mishnah erchin, which is l'shemayim humiskaven, the goy's intention is not really to support the maintenance of the Beis HaMikdash. His idea is he wants to do something l'shem shemayim. He wants to do erchin. What erchin's about, there could be some deeper meaning of kapara, that I want to pay my value to kapara. What happens to the money is very secondary in his mind. He wants to do something l'shem shemayim. He wants to do erchin. Why? He learned Maseches erchin, this guy, he wants to give erchin. That's his shem shemayim. Happens to be the money's going to be used for the klisharis. That's not called a direct contribution to the Beis HaMikdash. Since his kavan is l'shemayim, mimela, the money goes toward the upkeep, that's okay. So the Gemara again answers, l'shemayim hu miskaven, he has intent, whatever the tent is, l'shem shemayim, u'me'aleim, and just incidentally, the money goes to heimbron lebedek abayis. Kainat amar afhach. Here as well. When the guy brings the carbon and the nesachim, his intent isn't that the moser nesachim, the leftovers used for the klisharis. That just happens to happen. He gives too much wine. His intent was to bring a carbon. But memela, the money's extra, so they have to do something with it. So kainat amar afhach. Here as well, you have to answer the shemayim hu miskavim. The guy has good intentions of bringing a carbon ola with its nesachim. Umeleim, and incidentally, all the leftover money, all the leftover wine, is used heimban leklisharis. And even in that case, Reish Lakish would agree it can go towards the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash. So, according to Reish Lakish, just to recap before we go ahead, there are two exceptions. Even though Reish Lakish in general says you can't accept any money from a carbon, from an ola, from a nachri, there are two exceptions where he allows you to accept something from a nachri. One is a carbon ola, and the other one is if it's these two cases of melein. If the intention was l'shem shemayim, but there's some type of surplus or some type of extra money, so then that money can be used even towards the bedek habayis, which is the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash. So now the Gemara says further, Reish Lakish, Pasar Lei, he explained what was the basis for his ruling. What was the reason why he says you can't accept any money, any dedication from a nachri? So he quotes the pasuk in Ezra, we said in the Mishnah, Lo lachem v'lanu livnos beis elokeinu. It's not for us, nor is it for us and you, or you and us, to build the Beis HaMikdash together. Only we could actually build this. Now this becomes actually an interesting shaila, I just mentioned, since we are learning Kudshim here. It's already 7:30, but I'll say it anyways. So the din is, the Rashi tells us famously in the Gemara in Sukkah, and the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, that Bai Shlishi is going to come down from Shemaim. It's going to come from Shemaim, because he's dealing with the question, it's actually relevant to Pesachim. The Gemara suggests about the Karban Omer, the Beis HaMikdash can be built on Yontif. It's possible it could be built on Yontif, the Gemara says. Rashi says, how could it be built on Yontif? It doesn't make any sense. So how could, we can't build on Yontif. So Rashi says, because since Bai Shlish is coming from Shemayim, because Baruch Hu does not need to give the mitzvah. So he could just plop down the Beis HaMikdash on Yontif, it could happen, this is Leil Seder, it could happen at nighttime, it could happen through the daytime, happen on Yontif, it's all fine. The Rambam holds that Bai Shlish is not built by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's built by Bnei Adam. So now he has to figure out, how do you answer the Gemara that says that we're going to build a Beis HaMikdash on Yontif? It doesn't make any sense. So the beginning of Maseches Midos, Maseches Tamid, two places, the Tiferes Yisrael answers that we're not going to build it. The Goyim are going to build it on our behalf. And there's all a violation of Amir L'Akum, the Beis HaMikdash, so they're going to build it for us. It's a Gemara in Pesachim, if you remember, Daf, I don't know, Samaches or something, where the Gemara says, one pasuk says, Bila Mavis L'Netzach, there's no longer death in this world, but the other pasuk says that we're going to live to 120 in the times of Mashiach. So which one is it? So Gemara says, in the terms of the Yisraelim, we're going to live forever. The Jew will live forever, but the Goyim are going to live to 120. So Gemara says, why are Goyim going to be around during the Beis HaMikdash, during the Mashiach? So Gemara says, they're going to be our shepherds, they're going to be working for us. So based on this pasuk, that Gemara, the Tiferes Yisrael says, they're also going to build the Beis HaMikdash on our behalf. So I believe there's a, I didn't look into this, but I believe there's a question, if the pasuk says, Lo lachem v'lan livnos beis elokeinu, the pasuk says, no, you and I should not build the Beis HaMikdash. Well, they are building the Beis HaMikdash according to the Tiferes Yisrael. How do you understand this pasuk? So I don't remember the answer, but they do answer, they do deal with this question here, that they should not be involved in the Beis HaMikdash. That's the base of Reish Lakish, why we don't accept any dedications from the Goyim. So Gemara then says further, Rabbi Chizkir, Amar, Rabbi Simon, Sha'al, Me'ato. Now we could conclude, Ein Mekabel Mehen, Lama Samayim, if they want to help to give money towards the water, the little canal that passed through the Beis HaMikdash, and all the blood would go out to the different fields. And also, Lechomos, Ha'ir, Megdolosea, they want to contribute to the walls and the towers. Al Shem, we say, Lachem Ein Chelik. They have no Chelik at all in the building of Yushalayim, either not the Beis HaMikdash, not Yushalayim, and we don't accept any contributions from them. Okay, so now we're going to go to the Kalbum. So Gemara quotes from the Mishnah, a number of different parentheses, what we read, what we don't read. We're going to skip a few lines of parentheses. We're running out of time, and we don't normally read parentheses. So let's jump now where the Gemara says, it says, Masnis or my time at Rabbi Meir, it should be. What's the reason for Rabbi Meir? Why does he say that you have to pay two kalbonos? So Gemara explains, Dama Rabbi Meir, see where I am, guys? If we jump down a few lines. Dama Rabbi Meir says, Kishem sheshaklu Torah kach kalbono Torah. Just like the requirement of paying a machzor shekel is a din deraisa, so to the kalbon is a din deraisa. We'll see the basis for that in just a moment. And Kesavah Rabbi Meir holds, Benosein shiklo shalom, when you pay a full shekel, so the din would be that shuchayv shnei kalbonos. You have to pay two kalbonos, because if I'm paying for myself and my neighbor, let's say, so I'm paying one shekel, but within the one shekel is two half shkalim, each half a shekel has to be accompanied by another kalbon. So even though there's one payment, we don't care about an exchange fee. We care about my obligation. My obligation is a half a shekel plus a kalbon. His chiv is a half a shekel plus a kalbon. So if I'm paying a full shekel, I need to still pay two kalbonos. Dami Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir holds, and this is the basis, Kimin matbeya shel eish hotzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitachas kisei kvodo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe Benu, the Gemara says, it could be even a medrash, maybe a Yushalmi, that there are three and sometimes even four places where Moshe Benu had a difficult time understanding the concept, what it was. So one was a shekel, one was a menorah, one was a chodesh shel chem rosh chodesh. The other case, I believe, was the kosher animals, the non-kosher animals. It was the fourth place, according to some midrashim. So either way, so Moshe Rabbeinu had a hard time understanding what exactly was a machzor shekel. So Kadosh Baruch Hu took a min matbeah shel esh, a fiery coin that was underneath mitachas kisei hakavod, and Harel Moshe showed Moshe Rabbeinu, Amar lo zeh yitnu, this is what I'm talking about, this is what you should give. So kazeh yitnu, like this, zeh yitnu, kazeh yitnu. So Rameir darshins that the understanding was that currency, inflation, value of coins went down significantly. So now machzor shekel now is much less valuable than a machzor shekel in times of Moshe Rabbeinu. How are we going to cover the difference of value? So a kalbon is there meant to cover, I guess, the inflation differences, which is probably a lot more than just a kalbon these days. Whatever the understanding is, there's some difference, some drop in the value. So in order to have the same value of the machzor shekel of Moshe Rabbeinu, we had to add the kalbon to cover, to meet the value. So therefore, it's a din deraisa, zeyinu, kazeyinu. Make sure the value is always the same, regardless of how far away from Moshe Rabbeinu's time we are. So then the Gemara says further, Nasan Sela Lital Shekel Chayiv Shnei Kalbonos. This was in the Mishnah, that if you give a Sela, which is two Shkalim, in exchange for one Shekel, so that, since that's considered two transactions, the giving and then the returning, so you need to pay two Kalbonos, the Mishnah said. So Amar Rebbe Lazar, this is Rebbe Meir, Rebbe Meir Amar Echad Shekel Shunosein Ve'echad L'Divrei Torah. So the first understanding is not what I just said. Rebbe Lazar thinks this is Rebbe Meir. Why are you paying two kalbonos? One kalbon is for the chiv deraisa of paying a kalbon for every machzor shekel. And there's a second kalbon because you're making an exchange here. He agrees that you have to also pay an exchange fee. So there are two different kalbonos, even according to Rabbi Meir. The Tanya, the Mishnah says that elu chayavim bekalbon, kalbon echad, Rabbi Meir omer shnei kalbonos. So this statement is like Rabbi Meir, the reason why when you pay a sela and you get back a shekel, you pay two kalbonos because that's Rabbi Meir. You need two kalbonos. But the Gemara says no. Rav Amar Divrei Kol here. Here everybody agrees you have to pay two kalbonos because there are two exchange fees. Echad shekel shunosein, vechad shekel shunotil. It's not because Rav Meir is throwing his chiv the rice of kalbon, because there are two transactions. One transaction is giving the money changer and one is taking back the change. So since those are considered two transactions, you need to pay two different fees. But Daiti the Rav, according to Rav, where there are two exchange fees, so according to Rav, you need shlosha kalbonos to inim. But according to Rav Meir, you now require three. For each exchange fee, you need two. You need one for each one, which is two in this case. So you're giving and you're taking. And you need a third one because the chiv derais of a kalbon, every machzor shekel must have a kalbon. So that it comes out there really three kalbonos, according to Shitas Rav Meir.
So he's giving a selah for two people.
It doesn't say, it's not like he's giving just for one person, because if it's two people, if it's for two people, they need to have two kalbonos according to Rabbi Meir. So there's really only one here, otherwise.
You're saying three, that's why
three. No, three kalbonos. Two for two exchange fees, and one for the chiv deraisa. He's giving, he's taking back the change. So those are considered two different transactions. So those are two kalbonos. The third kalbon would be for the chiv deraisa that Rabbi Meir requires for every machzor shekel, must also have a kalbon mideraisa. So then the Gemara says, also Rabbi Yirmiyah, Rabbi Shmuel bar, Rabbi Yitzchak, b'shem Rav, shlosho kalbonos. You know, this supports what we just said, that there are really three kalbonos in this case. Echad shekel shunosin, one for the exchange fee of giving the shekel. Vechad shekel shunota, another exchange fee for getting the change, and the third one, echad ledavar toward the chiv deraisa, paying a kalbon for every single machzeh shekel. So then the Gemara says, now this is what the Mishnah is talking about, this inverse relationship between chiv maisa behema and the kalbon here.
If somebody gives a machzeh shekel according to Rameh, he also has to give a kalbon no matter what, every single person?
Yeah, exactly. So then the Gemara says this inverse relationship between a Maisa Behema and a Kalbon. So the din would be as follows. That I'll say a little bit of background on Maisa Behema. The Maisa Behema is the last parak, the ninth parak of Becharos talks about Maisa Behema. If a person has a sheep, and every year new sheep are born, so you take the sheep of that year, you put it into a pen, and you have it walk out one by one. Every tenth animal, you make a little mark, and that's a Maisa Behema. And those tenth animals are brought as a carbon, and it's a carbon Maisa Behema. That's the din. So now, there's a certain, one of the exemptions of Maisa Behema, if you have to own the Maisa Behema from the moment it was born to your flock, and you held on to it until you brought it as a carbon. If I bought an already born sheep, that's pater. So if you bought a Maisa Behema, or Maisa rather a Behema, that's pater for Maisa Behema. So now we're going to figure out here, when it comes to partners and brothers, when they split, let's say, a Yerusha, so if it comes, let's say there's an estate, that estate comes directly, the father passes away, so that estate is not considered an acquisition in my son's property yet. But let's say the brothers divide the property, now that's considered a transaction. So if it's prior to the dividing of the estate, that's considered the father's and still chayiv in Maisa Behema, it's not considered the children's yet. But once they divide the property, that's considered an acquisition, and it'll be pater for Maisa Behema, but then you'll be chayiv in a kalbon. So let's explain the Gemara now. Ha'achin v'ashutun, your brothers and partners, she'chayavin v'kalbon, when are they chayiv a kalbon, u'pturim in Maisa Behema, and they're exempt from Maisa Behema, b'shechalku v'chazu v'nishatvu. They divide the property and then rejoin forces and now repartnered with each other. So now, since it went through a couple stages of acquisitions, it's pater for Maisa Behema, but now they're also chayiv in a separate kalbum, because since they're viewed as separate parties, if they're paying a kalbum, let's say, on behalf of their father's estate, the father's estate doesn't need to pay a shekel. They wanted to pay as a father's estate to pater from a kalbum. They gave a shekel, whatever the reason, they gave a shekel, but there is no chiv kalbum because it's an estate. But the moment the children took the properties, so now they own it. If they're paying a shekel from their property now, they'd be chayv a kalbon, but they'd be exempt from Maisa Behema, because since now it's considered an acquisition in their hand, it's a kinyan, it's theirs to pay a kalbon in the shkalim, but it's pater from Maisa Behema, now that's in their property. But when are they chayavim of Maisa Behema, the chayv Maisa Behema, and pturim in a kalbon, that's when it still remained in the estate of their father, so it's still chayv Maisa Behema, that's b'shel lo chalku, when they did not yet divide the estate. So the Gemara now says, makes the following distinction. Amar late Reb Lezer, when it comes to dividing the property, behein shechalku gedim keneged tiyashim, utiyashim kenegedim. The Gemara says, at what point is it considered in the ownership of the children? So it's only true when they divided unequal parts here. When you divide unequal parts, that shows it's really a division. They're not really joining forces. He took the goats and he took the sheep. He took the sheep, he took the goats, that's considered real division, and now considered separate owners. They had an even split. You take 10 goats, I take 10 goats, you take 10 sheep, I take 10 sheep. That's not considered a true division yet. That's still considered as if it's part of the property of the states for some reason. So then the din would be the hu chalko mishav rishona, that's considered what was expected to come to you, right? It was expected in most Yerushas and most divisions of partnerships, it's supposed to be 50-50. So if it was supposed to be a natural, seamless transaction of, 50-50, so then that's not considered a new ownership. That's considered a continuation of the estate. Only if they divide unevenly these animals versus those different types of animals is that considered a split and a division. That's according to Reb Lezer. But Amar Reb Yochanan says, afilu chalku gedim keneged gedim, even if you split goats connected goats and tiyashim connected gedashim and different rams against different rams, that's still considered kulukuchotain, because once you divide it, even though you did 50-50, it is considered lakuach, and it would be pater. Minamais is considered a transaction. Kahud etanin and tamal, like it says in the Mishnah, Maseches Becharos, the very end, halakuach v'shnitan limatana, that which a person got, he bought either a sheep, or he was given as a gift a sheep, the din is, it's pater minamais behema, only if you have the flock in your possession that was born to you, is a chayv minamais behema. But if it's given to you, or you bought it, that would be exempt from minamais behema. Let's quickly try to do a recap of this. Might be a little hard. I don't have my Gemara here, my underlines I usually use. Either way, you start with the Mishnah talking about, and there's a lot to say here also. We'll try to be very quick. We start off with the Mishnah saying about even though we're not a chayv certain people to pay shekel, if they want to give, we accept from them. We had a discussion about a nachri and a kusi, we don't accept from them. They can't be involved in the building of the base of Mikdash. And then we had this inverse relationship between a maisa behema and a giving in the shkalim. And we spoke about the chiv, the kalbon now. The kalbon, the pay, Rav Meir holds the chiv, the raisa. The others felt it was some type of exchange fee. So then the Gemara talks about the child who does not have shesaros. We don't demand them to pay, but if they do have shesaros, we do demand that they pay. Then we had the machlokas of Yochel and Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish felt that we don't accept anything at all before that we had machlokas whether Kusi was a Kiger or Kenach. We had seemed to be our Misha had two different versions of this. Then we had the machlokas between Reish Lakish and Reb Yochanan. Reish Lakish says we don't accept anything from a goy, but Reb Yochanan says we accept it if it's basof and it's not a davar mesuyim. We had a couple of questions on that, and we had exceptions. Reish Lakish would agree if it's considered a carbon ola, we would accept it. If it's moser nesachim, we'd use the money even Reish Lakish to pay for the upkeep, and for erchin as well, we'd use the money because as long as it's l'shem shemayim, the me'aleim, the money is used for the upkeep of the Beis Hamikdash. And then we had the discussion about the shita Rav Meir holds the kabbalah of chiv deraisa, and the others felt it was only chiv derbanim. The basis of chiv deraisa was that because Rachu showed Moshe Benu the esh, the matpesh esh, they always have to be the same value. So the kabbalah is always supposed to try to keep the value of the inflation over years. And then finally, we finish off talking about this inverse relationship between a chiv of the ma'is beima versus the chiv of a kabbalah. Okay, we'll stop here, and Mirtz Hashem, we will continue tomorrow. Those who are traveling, have a safe trip. Chag Kasher Smeach. Those who are not, Joseph, Chag Kasher Smeach. I guess hopefully we'll see you tomorrow.